where Bridgeport comes for news and talk. The Lisa Wexler Show, now on Southern Connecticut's news and information leader, WICC 600.
And welcome back to the Lisa Wexler Show. You can call me at 203-333-9422, 203-333-9422. Dr. Brett King is in. He is an associate professor of dermatology. He specializes in skin diseases. Recalcitrant, big word, meaning stubbornly refusing to respond to first-line therapies. He's pioneered the use of all kinds of inhibitors for dermatology. He specifically understands an awful lot about eczema, alopecia, sarcoidosis. You would never want to have such a thing. And a lot of other things that can go wrong with the skin. Dr. King, welcome to the show today and good morning.
Oh, good morning, Lisa. Thank you for the opportunity to be here with you and your audience.
It's a pleasure. You have quite the credentials here, a PhD from Stanford, an MD at Yale, a medical internship at Mass General. I would say pretty stellar credentials, Dr. King. Congrats to you.
I try hard. I try hard.
So I want to ask you, I saw your name that was featured in an article when, you know, Jada Pinkett Smith had that joke thrown at her and she didn't think it was particularly funny. And then, you know, with Will Smith hitting Chris Rock and the world shook a little bit after all of that. But at the heart of it was this conversation about alopecia, which is, I guess, premature, unwanted, patchy hair loss in the scalp. Is that a good definition of what alopecia is?
So I'm glad you asked. I'm glad we're starting the conversation here. So alopecia just means hair loss. So lots of people have alopecia. Lots of people have hair loss for lots of different reasons. The conversation or the event at the Oscars was around Jada Pinkett Smith having a form of hair loss called alopecia areata, which is an autoimmune form of hair loss that causes exactly what you said, patchy hair loss. So, you know, to be differentiated or distinguished from, say, male pattern hair loss, which happens as we get older, alopecia areata can strike anybody at any age and just looks different. And so its effect on us kind of psychosocially is often very different.
Does it strike men and women equally?
Yep. Alopecia areata, so it's the second most common form of hair loss, the most common being male pattern hair loss. The second most common is alopecia areata. It affects males and females similarly. It affects all races similarly. It can affect us at any age of life, though it typically occurs for the first time in, say, the first 40 years of life.
And what is it caused by, doctor? What's it caused by, Dr. King? What is it?
Yeah. It's an interesting question. And the last 10 or 12 years have actually brought kind of amazing insight into this disorder and what causes it. And we really think the vast majority of people who have alopecia areata have a genetic predisposition to it. So it's in your genes. You inherit the predisposition to have it from your parents. By virtue of having the genes, you don't necessarily get the hair loss, but you have a chance of getting it. So genetics are really key. And when those genetics turn on, when the genes turn on, you develop or one develops spots of hair loss, or in its most severe form, you lose all the hair on your head, all the hair on your body.
You know, I went to camp with a girl. Now, you're going back a long time, over 50 years ago, and I went to a sleepaway camp with a girl, and I still remember to this day that she had that form of alopecia areata. She had complete hair loss, and she wore these wigs all the time, and I just remember feeling so sorry for her. Everybody did. She didn't have any hair on her head.
Oh, yeah.
It was terrible.
Right. No. It is an awful disease to have. That I guarantee you, without having been at sleepaway camp with you, I can tell you that girl did not go swimming. She was terrified of somebody ripping off her wig.
Yeah. Oh,
and God. Leaving her standing naked in front of everybody. It's just, it can be a terrible, terrible disease for kids and adults alike. And I think in the adults part, we really got a good glimpse of the pain that this disease can cause with the Oscars.
Do people lose their eyebrows too, or is it only the hair on their scalp?
Nope. You got it. It is any hair on your body can be affected. And so in the most severe form, people lose all of the hair on their scalp, their eyebrows, their eyelashes.
Oh my.
Facial hair in men, and then body hair. And so it really makes people can turn people into ghosts of themselves. Because when you erase all of the hair on the head, including eyebrows and eyelashes and facial hair, you really erase really important features that identify you visually.
Yeah.
When you look in the mirror, you probably none of us do think about it unless we start to lose these important features. But a lot of what you see, a lot of what identifies you is your hair.
You don't have to tell me that. As a woman, Dr. King, the hair is everything. Are you kidding me? The hair is everything.
Yeah.
It's either a good hair day or a bad hair day. I mean, really, it's either
that's
a good hair day or a
that's
bad
right.
hair day.
And what's great, and you don't stop to think about this until your hair is gone. It's such a privilege to be able to have a bad hair day.
Yeah.
Because it means that you have hair that can be bad.
Yeah.
But truly, when you erase all of this, you don't recognize yourself when you look in the mirror, and other people don't recognize you because you do not look like yourself without the hair on your head, without eyebrows, without eyelashes.
Dr. Brett King is with us, 203-333-9422. So are there treatments? If this is a genetic thing, if this is a switch that goes on and off, is there anything that can be done?
It's such an exciting time because there are treatments on the horizon. And indeed, just a few weeks ago, we published a big study in the New England Journal of Medicine showing that a medicine called baricitinib, which belongs to a class of medicines called JAK inhibitors, can regrow hair in many people with the most severe form of alopecia areata. And in addition to this study, there are two other medicines in development, one called ritlecitinib and another called deuruxolitinib, which are showing similar results in clinical trials of patients with the most severe form of alopecia areata. And so indeed, there's hope. There is treatment on the horizon.
No, that's good. That's really good. And in terms of how common it is, how common is the alopecia areata? How common is that?
Yeah. So alopecia areata, it affects about 2% of the population, which
that's
means that, you know, there may be as many as 7 million people in the U.S. who have it. There may be as many as 160 million people in the world who have it. And again, not all of those people, right, have the most severe form. In fact, you know, maybe only 10 or 20% of people with alopecia areata have the most severe form, the form for which these therapies that I just mentioned are warranted. But it's a common disease.
Yeah, It sounds like it. We're chatting with Dr. Brett King from Yale, a prominent dermatologist who's done a lot of studying and a lot of different things that can go wrong with the skin. 203-333-9422. The skin is our largest organ. It is very much a reflector of our health. Don't you agree, Dr. King, altogether? It's fascinating,
oh,
the skin. And you talk about taking something for granted. I mean, you know, we take our skin for granted all the time. All the time.
No. When something goes wrong with the skin, it really affects us personally. And it often affects our health. It really is. The skin can be a window, if you will, to what is happening inside our body and our health in general.
Well, I want to thank you for coming on today. I really appreciate it, Dr. Brett King. Thanks for giving us some insight and a little bit of empathy. I've got one more question for you before we let you go. Can you explain to me, this is a personal thing. My brother-in-law is has a very, very terrible case of psoriasis, like a horrible, like reptilian, really, really bad. And I'm curious why the drug for that, Stelara, is also a drug that is prescribed for people with Crohn's disease. Can you explain the relationship? I don't understand it. Can you explain it?
Yeah. It's a great question, and I mean, we could have a whole conversation about kind of targeted medicine that is possible more and more these days. But I think generally speaking, Crohn's disease, which is a form of inflammatory bowel disease, so like ulcerative colitis, right? These are autoimmune diseases, just like psoriasis. Again, another autoimmune disease, similar to, say, psoriatic arthritis or rheumatoid arthritis. So the idea is that there's a whole bunch of autoimmune diseases. In fact, the one that we're here to talk about, alopecia areata, is an autoimmune disease. Just because you're an autoimmune disease doesn't mean necessarily that the same thing is happening in every person. It's just, is it affecting the gut, or is it affecting the joints, or is it affecting the hair or the skin? But there are a lot of things in common between some kinds of autoimmune diseases. And so this is why you have these medicines that sometimes find home in what seem like completely different diseases, like you know, a disorder of the intestines, like Crohn's disease, or like a disorder of the skin,
I see.
Psoriasis.
Got it. Thank you, Dr. King. Dr. Brett King from Yale explaining and trying to connect the dots with us today and talking a little bit about alopecia and various kinds of autoimmune diseases that attack the skin. Dr. King, thank you so much for coming on the Lisa Wexler Show today. We much appreciate it.